I hope you're excited. We are starting our new sermon series, Rooted. So I was hoping maybe for one. Woo! No? There we go. Come on. So as we are starting this out, we're going to talk about it on Sundays. And Balcony, good morning to you guys as well up there. We're going to talk about it on Sundays. And then you can get in groups, a Rooted group. Pastor Brian will be out there in the plaza. If you don't have a book, go get one. And you can sign up, grab the book today, and then he'll get you plugged into either if your existing life group's going through it or a future group. So jump right in. And it's not something you can just, just pick up a book and just read it at my own time. It needs to be experienced in community. On the back of our bulletins, we have Better Together, that we believe life is better together in community, and then in fact that we hear from God from each other. And so that's what we invite you to come be a part of. And so get your Rooted books and be a part of that. So today we're kicking off and we're talking about God. Who is God? At the beginning, the second you open the Bible, it says, in the beginning there was God. And so we're going to ask, who is he? Who is he? And so today, this morning, we're going to look at a passage King David describes in this famous psalm that he writes, and it gives us a little glimpse of who God is. Now, King David was a mighty king, and God describes him as a man after God's own heart. So if God says, this man right here is after my heart, we might want to listen to something that this man is saying about God, because God's saying, this very man knows he's after my heart. He knows who I am. And so turn with me to Psalm 23. We'll put it up on the screen for you as well. And if you don't have a Bible, we've got our big blues in the pews. You can grab one of those hardbacks, throw it, put it in your purse, take it home, and that's our gift to you. Take it, read it. Psalm 23, almost in the middle of the Bible. Famous psalm. And it writes, the psalmist David writes this: the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, some of us grow up learning through the valley of the shadow of death. It says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Imagery of a shepherd, his rod, his staff, it brings comfort. This morning, we're going to look at just that very first line, where God is, the description of God, David writes, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. So let's break this down. The very first, if you're taking notes, that first blank, the Lord. We're going to look at that right there at the beginning, where David describes, he says, the Lord. Who are we talking about here? The Lord, the God. The Bible describes in this, the Hebrews, Yahweh. And so the Bible has so many descriptions of God. And know this morning, as we answer the question, who is God? There are books and books and books and books and books that are written about this. And yet our minds, there's still something that we can't fully grasp who God is. Yet at the very same time, God reveals himself and we can understand who he is at a certain level. So no sermon will be able to suffice for all the information that's out there. But do know, I encourage you to continue to study and seek who God is. And yet, although God cannot be fully known, he can be known. And he reveals himself to us. And so that's what we want to pursue. So the God, the Lord, who is he? The Bible describes him as the living, the God of the living. That there's all sorts of descriptions in the Bible that God is love, that God is good. God is our comforter. God is our provider. He's our peace. He's our rock. He's our fortress. He's our shield. He is blameless. He is righteous. He is the beginning. He is the end. He always was and always will be God of the universe. This God comes to us and he speaks to us. He is perfect. He's holy, blameless, and righteous. And he created all things for his glory. all, and when you look at so much of study and literature and even some great catechisms that say, what's the main purpose of humanity? It's to glorify God. That's our goal. That's what our job is. And as the King David even writes, come, O magnify the Lord with me. Let's make him big, because God is a big God. Now, here's what can happen. The enemy doesn't want you to know that God is big. The enemy wants to distract you, and what the enemy wants to do is say, God's not that big. And so where we're talking, where we're thinking, we go, well, okay, maybe God's not that big. And so sometimes the enemy doesn't even tell us directly, God isn't that big, because we know that. Some of us know, okay, I know God's big. I know he's big. But what the enemy will do is say, your problem is bigger than God. The enemy will get you thinking your problem is so big that God begins to seem small. You're worried about this, maybe losing a job or a loved one, and I don't want to minimize the pain or suffering maybe you're going through, but what the enemy wants to do is say, this is bigger than your God. Think about this. We just had the eclipse on Monday, right? And so we're and just down in SoCal, it wasn't a full eclipse, but the moon, where the moon passes from our perspective, the moon blocked out the sun. Now think about this. Do you know that the moon, how much bigger the sun is than the moon? You can fit 64.3 million moons inside the sun. 64.3 million. Yet from our perspective, the sun was blocked out. And darkness came over the world, at least in the U.S. It looked dark because it's perspective. When your perspective is off, when your problem seems bigger, the moon is not bigger than the sun. But from our position, it blocked out the sun so there wasn't light. The enemy will show you your problem is bigger than God. God, the creator of the universe, he can solve everything, and yet we can get stuck in situations. And so if you're taking the first bullet point, let God be God. You and I have to magnify, as David writes, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let God be God in your life. We have to practice this. We have to encourage each other. We have to remind each other. Because when we look at our problem, because what we can do is look at our problems and then look at God, and we get so engulfed by our problems, we lose the sight of God. Think about what David did. Many of us know, whether we grew up in church or not, that David fought Goliath. And now we want to be careful in the study of scriptures and just say David or Goliath represents our problems, because Goliath was a historical figure and David was a historical figure who defeated Goliath. Yet many of us, we have problems. We have Goliaths, if you will, that pose challenges in our life. When you begin to get the correct perspective on who God is, your life will start to fit together. Think about David. David looked at his enemy and said, you know what? This enemy, although Goliath was much bigger than David, David looked at him, this is no big deal. Give me 5 stones, a little purse, I'll swing this around, and man, we'll go out to lunch afterwards, get some KFC, we'll be good. Yeah, KFC, fried chicken. It was no problem for David. David said, I have this. Everybody else was so afraid of Goliath. It said that the armies trembled. David just kind of walks up like, no big deal. Knock this guy out. Let's get on with it. Why? Not because David was the strongest, not because David was the tallest, but because he knew his God was big. David trusted that God was in control, and he had the right perspective of who God is. Now let's look at the second part of this. As we're looking at it, the text, the Lord is my shepherd. David writes, he is my shepherd. Now what does a shepherd do? A shepherd guides the sheep. And we know that sheep often go astray. That the sheep aren't the brightest animals in the world. And the description in the Bible says, you and I, me, pastor, is like, I'm a sheep. I go astray. I wander. God is the great shepherd. He guides us, and yet I wander. So we have to think about, if God is shepherding us and guiding us, and if I wander, what causes me to wander? What causes us to wander? What ends up shepherding us? What shepherds you? What guides your life? Think about Richard Foster poses that there are three things, sex, money, and power, that rule all of our lives, that guide us. One in one shape or another. I mean, think about it. Is it maybe sports for you? You have this dream of being this athlete, or maybe an advancement in your career. And maybe it can happen so subtly. Maybe you're just at your cubicle, at your desk, and you hear somebody else that got a promotion or advancement, and all of a sudden you say, I deserve that. I want that. And now your whole career and your choice, you start neglecting your family or you're neglecting your friends because you're so focused on your studies and you just have this goal in your mind. And it was just a quick little turn. I want that. I want to be recognized like that person is. Or maybe it's a neighborhood that you want to live in or a car to drive. There's these things that just quickly, oh, I see that. Or maybe with your girl or your man and you see somebody else is like buff or got a good body and you're like, ooh, if I looked like that, then maybe other people would like me or I would get the respect. And so you spend countless hours in the gym or working on beauty and all these things that drive us, sex, money, power, they guide us, they shepherd us. But think about how many of these things that have led us astray. And here's the reality. When these things disappoint, we end up looking like sheep because you can take any of these things away. We know this now more than ever with our economy. I mean, in the times we live in, war, all of this can fade away. All of our money, your whole 401k, your Roth IRA, everything can disappear in a moment. It can be taken away from you. We go into war, everything you saved up for gets blown away, destroyed, and what are you left with? Your job, you can lose your career, you can lose loved ones. And I'm not trying to be like dark and gloomy, but things can disappear like that. And we look like this. Well, this is going to make me happy. Oh, I can't get that. Let me get this. Okay, that failed, so let me go after this. And we end up looking like sheep. We're lost. We're not sure what guides us. The good news, friends, that we have today, that Jesus comes, that God comes, and he says, I'm your shepherd. I will guide you. So if you're taking notes on the second one, that you're putting my shepherd, and that you would put discover who God is, and you will discover, then you will discover who you are. If we're going to figure out who we are, then we need to look at God. Because if God is our shepherd, he is the one that guides us. Because what society will tell us, you need to go and find yourself. Millennials, we love. And some of you are like, man, you're too old to be a millennial. I'm just right on the edge. And some of you are like, man, you're still a baby. I'm just in that awkward stage of life, man. It's right there in the middle. But millennials love to take exams and learn and discover. We love to discover ourselves. There's an aspect that is good. I encourage you to do that because when you know how God created you, you can use those gifts and use them for the kingdom and serve in the best capacity that God's created you. Now, the dark side of the spectrum could be just know yourself. Go out and search, go hiking, go on a beautiful hike and figure out who you are, how you're wired, how you're designed, and just figure out what you really like and just be true to yourself. The problem with that is, as the Bible describes, if you just look within, the Bible says your heart is deceitful above all things. Your heart will misguide you. Your heart will be looking around and it'll be like, squirrel, you'll see something and just like, I want that. House, car, girls, money, I want it. And so you can't just look at your own heart. We need to have something that's guiding us. Otherwise, we're off to the side. And so when you are lined up, when you're looking to God to find your identity, then you will actually know who you are. Friends, you want to know the beauty of this? Turn with me over to John chapter 10. Jesus says this in verse 11. We'll put it up on the screen as well. Jesus, making this bold claims where throughout the scriptures, he has these phrases, I am, proclaiming to be God himself. He says this, and well in mind, keeping the Psalm 23 in mind, Jesus says this in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So Jesus is the good shepherd. He guides us. We all need some guidance in our life, don't we? Amen. I was just the other day, I was walking out of the grocery store, and I'm walking out, having groceries kind of in my hand, and I'm looking in the parking lot, maybe just like 5 feet in front of me, there's a student driver, and the student's driving with her mom, and I can see the driver doesn't see me. And so I'm looking out, and I'm realizing I'm about to get hit. So I take 2 steps back, because I'm in between cars, and I'm like, I'll be safe, they're gonna hit the car. And I don't know why, like, forgive me, I was sitting there, I was like, I should have like yelled stop or different things, but I just kind of watched disaster happening. So, and it just happened so fast, I just kind of stepped back, and I'm like, well, I'm safe, and they're gonna hit the car. And so I'm just watching this, because the driver's, I don't know, looking a different direction, and then all of a sudden, the mom grabs the wheel and goes, zoop, and keeps her from hitting me, and I mean, just like the car, and just grabs the wheel and goes, and it was the mom, like, go mom. It was just like one of these, like, whoom. I was like, dang, mom, that was nice. But I just felt like she was either going to hit me or hit the car. And I felt like, man, that's sometimes I need that in my life. You know, we don't even know. If this girl hit the car or hit me, sometimes we wouldn't be aware of everything that happened. It's just, oh, I didn't see it. But I was like, how nice is it when somebody who's, I mean, think, yes, the mom has more experience and wisdom and is driven for a long time, but think about God. God who shepherds us and guides us. Good old Carrie Underwood, Jesus, take the wheel. We need God to sometimes to take the wheel in our life and to control us. Would God shepherd us? And then in fact, he gives you your identity, because see this right here. Not only do you discover who you are when your eyes are on him, you find out who you really are and how you should live and be guided, but then you also find out you belong. Jesus continues here. He says this. So you find your identity and when he's your shepherd, and then you also belong to him. He says this. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock scatters it. That when, as Jesus is describing here, the hired hand will run away. People have talked about this in armies for centuries. Kings have known when the army is hired and it really comes down, push comes to shove, they'll run away. They'll flee. A rental, I mean, this is my confession, rental cars. How many of you guys don't drive rental cars the way you drive your car? I'm the only one. All right, pray for me. I love to floor that thing, brake hard. It's just stuff you don't get to do in your car. I know, pray for me. But Jesus says, you belong to me. And in fact, Jesus died on the cross so that you and I could be restored to God, that we can be brought in. He says, I belong to you. And now sometimes we might say, we might be new to church and say, well, what is this belonging thing? I'm myself. But it's good to belong. And in fact, we've said this for centuries in the way we love each other. And we say, you belong to me and I belong to you. There's an aspect of love that we need to feel connection. We need to feel that there's a home base. And in fact, when we belong to Jesus, Jesus says, I'm yours. I will protect you. Sheep don't have their own owners. They are owned by shepherds. And so they need to be bought. And that's what the scriptures say, that Jesus purchased us on the cross. And that he actually calls us his, and he's not going to run away. So when a sheep, you know, the scriptures say that all of us have gone astray. Not some of us. And in fact, even after you accept Jesus in your life, you still will go astray. The scriptures say, if you claim to be without sin, you're a liar. If I stand up here and say, I'm perfect, I met Jesus, my life is transformed, which it is, but doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect. So I need a shepherd to guide me. And I need a home to know, even when I wander, a God that calls me back, and there's a God who loves me. I mean, think about that. Think about how much harm in our society and in your life happens just by that need to belong. How much have you done? How much have I done just because I'm trying to feel loved and accepted? I mean, often think about it. The whole way we dress, the way the neighborhoods we live in, the things we do, we want to be, the words that we say, the groups that we hang around with, the actions that we choose are all so that we are accepted, right? There's a lot that we say so others, we don't want to say certain things because this group won't accept us. Or if we say this, this group will think I'm weird. And so we do a lot of things, and in fact, we can get into a lot of trouble by not knowing where we belong. We look for acceptance in so many other places, yet God says, you're mine. You belong to me. I will guide you and care for you. The third one I want us to look at is that God is my provider. The scriptures use this word in all throughout the scriptures, Jehovah Jireh, that God is our provider. Jehovah Jireh means provider, that God is our provider. And so you see this here in Psalm 23. It says, David writes, I lack nothing. Nothing. I lack nothing. And now how do we have this type of contentment that David had? It's a learned process. I want you to write this in your notes. Learn contentment by trusting that God will provide all that you need. You have to learn contentment, and you have to trust that God will provide all that you need. Because when you look at God, when David's writing this, there might be things in your life where you're not content. Because David's writing this, he wanted to go off and be a warrior, and yet God had him being a shepherd. Talk about contrasting occupations. He wanted to go off and be a king and be a warrior, and God has him for a moment. This is why David's writing, he's using shepherd language, how he came to realize who God is, because he was spending out time with the sheep and being still with God. Do you have time in your life to get still, to be still, to pray to God? Because maybe God wants to show you something in when you might say, I have nothing. I don't have the occupation I want. I don't have the thing I'm looking after. And God might say, I have you right where I want you. Or maybe it's the pain. And again, I don't want to minimize the pain and the suffering you might be going through. But maybe have you lost perspective of how big God is? God is big. And when you have him, you lack nothing. Nothing. I mean, think about it. The economy phase, the economy collapses. We'll be okay. Think about how much things we do to try and store up and protect ourselves. In reality, we could eat beans and rice, couldn't we? We could survive. We could live in a tent if we really needed to. Yet, think about how much worry happens in my life, in our lives, because we're so caught up in, well, I need to be safe. I need to protect myself. And God says, you have everything in me. When you have me, you lack nothing. Do you believe that? Or do you find your heart being guided and you're trying to secure things and maybe you're worried about things and you're holding on to things in this world? Now, don't get me wrong. There's two cautions I want to caution you real quick with. That God doesn't promise. Here, God says, I will take care of your needs, because he guides David through what? Green pastures and puts him beside water. He takes care of his physical needs. God will take care of your physical needs. You can cry out to him. You can ask him for these things. He'll take care of you. But the other thing we need to guard against, what's called a prosperity gospel. What can come in here when we say, man, I will be blessed. God will bless you. He will guide you to green pastures. He will give you good things. But he doesn't promise everyone, hey, I'm going to give you the Ferrari that you want. He doesn't say, well, come with me and, man, you won't lack anything. You have everything. God will give you all that you need. Underline that word, need. Because you might not need, you might think you need things, but you don't. God will give you everything that you truly need. You might not want, you might want more, or you might not want what you currently have, but God will be enough no matter what. God, no matter whatever happens in this world, God is always enough. And David understood this. I mean, think about David. Let's go back to him as we bring this to a close. David's looking at Goliath, and as he faces him, he's not worried about his life. I mean, Paul in the scriptures got this concept so well. He says, okay, Goliath is so much bigger than me. I've got this. Why? Because my God is big, my God guides me, and I lack nothing. And guess what? Even if Goliath defeats me, I get to be with God in heaven. That's like, what's the bad news? What do you and I have to fear? The best news about heaven is that we get to be with God. And sometimes we protect and try and fight for so much in this world. We try to fight for everything here in this world. And yet God says, I'm here with you. I'll take care of you. I'm with you. You lack nothing. I am your everything. May you see God in this. May you see that God guides you, he leads you, he shepherds you, and in him you lack nothing. Now, let me share this last story with you, because I think this can transform our lives if we really begin to let this sink in. And we can actually experience this. So when I had met my wife, Jamie, down in San Diego, and we were both from the same hometown, 550 miles away. We met at UCSD and never crossed paths beforehand. And so we're there, and I meet her and come to see him, like, find out. I'm just like, see this girl I'm really attracted to. And I tell my friends about it, and they're like, oh, yeah, we know her. And just describing her beautiful inside and out and just how kind she is to people. And I'm just like, man, this girl is awesome. So we come to find out all these stories where we cross paths hundreds of times and just had never got to know, we just never knew each other in high school. So then I'm finding out all this about my friends. We're like, yeah, like, you need to pursue this girl. She's awesome. And I'm just like, okay. And then we come back home, and sure enough, one of our similar friends had a graduation party, and we see each other. And what do? I see her, kind of first time we're back home. Sup? And then I walk away. I was trying to play it cool. And later on, I mean, some of you might be like, well, yeah, that's the trick. Play it cool and you'll get the girl. No, she'll tell you, I had a lot of ground to make up after that. Playing it cool wasn't cool. Yet, that's what we do sometimes with God. We hear this good news that the Lord is our shepherd. He guides us. And in fact, we lack nothing. Man, friends, this is good news. This should cause us to live boldly. I encourage you this week, just take one bold step, something you wouldn't do this week if you trusted that God, in him you lack nothing. Could you just take one step? I want you to try something new, trusting and take a step of faith. Maybe it's give a little more. Maybe it's love somebody in a radical way, knowing that you might face failure. Try something. But knowing that God, if you have him, you lack nothing. Don't play it cool with God. Love him because he loves you and he's crazy about you. Do you know the fact that Romans 10:9 says that anybody that confesses that Jesus is Lord, that God is Lord, and you believe it, you confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart, you will be saved. You will be rescued. You can find salvation here this morning. In a moment, we're going to pray. And maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you need to accept Jesus for the very first time. Maybe you have gone astray in your life and you need to come back home. Maybe you've been a believer and you've strayed and need to come back home. Or maybe you have been a believer but you need to be guided by your shepherd. And you need to be guided and trust that you truly lack nothing. You don't lack anything. God will provide everything. He will take care of you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows you by name, and he's a good God. He's the good shepherd. So I invite you to pray with me now. Father, God, Lord, our shepherd, our provider, we cry out to you right now. Lord, some of us have gone astray. Lord Jesus, may we right now pray this in our hearts. Trusting, Jesus, I trust that you died on the cross for me. I trust that by you going to the cross, you paid the penalty for my sin. That you died and that you rose again. Jesus, you are God. You are in control and you are my shepherd. Now, if any of us prayed that prayer, I encourage you with our eyes closed and our heads bowed. The promise of the scripture says, if you believe that Jesus, that God is Lord, that you will be saved. Salvation is offered here this morning for all those who come. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I am the good shepherd that will guide you and lay you down. If you want to take a step of faith here this morning with eyes closed and heads bowed, would you raise your hand and saying, I want to follow you. Jesus, I want to trust you. God bless you. God sees you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God sees you. God bless you. I see you in the back. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see you. God bless you. God bless you. May God bless you. May you continue to follow him. Father, we thank you that you are guiding us. God, we're sheep. We've gone astray. Lord, yet we look to you, the Father of glory, the King of kings, that you are light and darkness. Lord, the end of the Bible says that there will be no more sun in the future, and the fact that you are the light of the world. You shine light into darkness. Lord, may we see that light. May we see that you are good, and may we experience that in our life. And Father, may we take bold steps this week to follow you. Jesus, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. You are the good shepherd. Would you lead us? We ask that in your name. Amen.